Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past Sunday was Rejoice Sunday. Our text was Philippians 4, and we talked about joy. We talked about rejoicing. Even the colors of our paraments changed, and those colors that reflected pain and suffering went away. And then a few days later, today, our word of the day, our topic of the day is suffering. Suffering as a topic. Now that's not to say that you can't rejoice or even be joyful in the midst of suffering. You can. If there was anything that the Philippians text, that Paul, as he was writing and talking, showed to us, it's that even he, in the midst of prison, in the midst of shackles, and who knows what was to come, still rejoiced in the Lord. But yet today, as we reflect upon Exodus 3, and we place that text in context, a larger story, if you will, the word that comes to mind isn't necessarily rejoicing, but suffering. It all started quite some time ago. Joseph and his multicolor coat, his brothers tore it up, threw him into a well, and eventually sold him into slavery. His brothers meant it for evil, but God, he meant it for good. And before it was all over, Joseph was the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And so it was that Joseph's whole family, pretty much all of Israel at the time, which was summed up in that one family, moved into Egypt. But generation passed and generation passed, and the Israelites multiplied. And it was just really a matter of time before a Pharaoh comes along and doesn't remember all the things that Joseph did. It was before his time. But what he does notice is that the Israelites seem to be growing in number. And they've gotten so large that, in fact, if they were to ever revolt, it could actually be a threat to Pharaoh. It could be a threat to the other Egyptians. And so he enslaves them. He stomps them down. He torments them. He puts taskmasters to them. And that is now the life of the Israelite. And put yourself in their shoes for just a minute. Imagine you're an Israelite during this time period. Suffering. That's the name of the game. And it's not the kind of suffering where you go, oh, well, don't worry, this too will pass. No. You're born, you grow up, you're a slave, you have a taskmaster, you're tortured, you're beaten, and then all of a sudden when you finally are spent, you die. And your children come along and the cycle repeats. This is your life. This is what you have to look forward to. And in those moments, and in that predicament, and in that situation, it must have felt so much like to the Israelites God had been on vacation, like he took a break, that he abandoned them and left them in the pit of Egypt. And then we have our text for tonight. Moses, a man who murdered somebody, who ran away. And everything on the text, everything in the page seems to suggest that Moses wanted nothing more than just to be left alone. He just wanted to live out his years. But he's not going to be left alone. God calls to him. And not a God, not one of many gods, the God. The God of all there is and was and ever shall be calls to Moses from a burning bush. God advents, if you will. God arrives. He shows up. And what does he say as he talks to Moses? He talks to Moses about how all those prayers and all those cries and pleas did not fall on deaf ears. God was never on vacation. He was always there. He was always listening. He heard the cries of his people. And now he's going to send Moses to them. what God does through Moses becomes the most important story in the Old Testament. It becomes the story that all the prophets and all the rest talk about. They all push it back and they say, remember the Exodus. The first five books of the Bible are written by the hand of Moses. It is an influential story. The story of what God does through 10 plagues as he forces Pharaoh's hand to push out the Israelites. Not just let them go, but actually force them to leave. And then what God does to Pharaoh even more. God was listening the whole time. And for the rest of the Old Testament, it's used as a story to remind everyone who God is. That God is not going to abandon you. That God is always present. That he is always there. He always hears you, even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of your suffering. God hears you. He knows you. When we take that story and we compare it to the story that we're about to actually celebrate a week from Saturday, the Exodus story pales in comparison. There's just no comparison. What God does in Egypt, what God does in Pharaoh is certainly a great miracle and certainly a big thing. But God himself, the Lord, the great I Am, coming and dwelling among his people and being born in Bethlehem is so much bigger. In the midst of our sinful world, our world, filled with sin, filled with muck, our Lord came. He was born as a child in Bethlehem. Our Lord came into the muck. He came into the sin-infested world that we have, that we live in. He came into it. He experienced hunger. He experienced pain. And yes, he experienced death. When you pray to your Lord and you tell your Lord about the sufferings that you are going through, know that you have a Lord that has experienced them. He doesn't just know about them, but he even knows what it's like. He has experienced pain. He has experienced hardship and death. Our Lord has experienced your suffering, and he knows. He is always there. He is always present. And when you cry to him, it does not fall on deaf ears, but it falls on the ears of God. It falls on the ears of a great God who went to the cross for you. Who went to the cross so that he can take your sin and demolish it and get rid of it and make it no more. That he could redeem you. That you could spend forever with him in eternity. It's good news. It's great news. And it's great news especially in the midst of any type of suffering that we might experience here. That we might experience now. All of these things that are going on in our lives, they are sufferings, but there will be a time when they end. There will be a time when we will be with our Lord for all of eternity. It's the kind of thing that would put a smile on your face. It's the kind of thing that would make a person in the midst of prison, locked in shackles, say, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. It would make somebody like Paul write the text that he wrote that we talked about on Sunday, Philippians 4. A great passage to keep in mind. Our pyramids are still rose. We're still talking about rejoicing. Rejoicing even in the worst of times. And all because of our Lord, all because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.